You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey everybody, did you miss me? Well, it's been a while since we've had a new episode. Went on a kind of impromptu hiatus there for the last 2 months since we released our episode with Dave Mustaine back in September. But we're back with an episode that I recorded a couple months ago, but I wanted to give you guys an update before we got into that. We kind of had two reasons why we took a little bit of a hiatus. One was our director and graphic designer, Brandon Lombardo, got married in Vegas and had all the planning to do. Congratulations, Brandon, everybody. Give him a round of applause for getting married, I guess. And the other reason was I actually went away to a mental health facility known as Sierra Tucson. Everything is great. Everything is good now. But I had to go take a little step away for a while and work on myself. It was a great facility. No issues at this point. Everything is great. My life is fantastic. I want to get more into detail on what my time at Sierra Tucson. You can look it up, that place, if you're someone who's struggling with anything, really mentally, substance abuse, they cover it all. But we'll get into that in a few weeks. Probably we'll do another episode before the end of the year. And then the other reason why we took a hiatus is we're ready to revamp the show again. Got a lot of great ideas with Sam and Brando, and it's going to be great. We're going to get a lot more in-person guests this way. It's going to be a lot of fun, and really looking forward to it in the next year. So make sure you're turning on all your notifications for this if you care to know a little bit more about Sierra Tucson, Rock in Rio, our upcoming show here in India. We're going to be talking about all that next month with Sam and Brandon, so make sure you guys check out that episode before the end of the year. And then be ready for next year, because we got a lot more Drinks with Johnny coming to you. Now, so this episode was recorded, as I said, a couple months ago with Jared from Head PE. Awesome dude. Had a great time getting to know him. I'm a big fan of Head PE, specifically their record Only in America. They got a new record out, Detox. And we talked a little bit about that and some more things. Just talking about growing up in Huntington Beach together again. Another guy that came right here from the same streets I grew up in. So really cool chat. Without further ado, enjoy this episode. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Drinks with Johnny. As always, coming to you on a Tuesday. Today, I'm really excited, man. I have the pleasure of being joined by a guy that, you know, I knew about before I ever heard a note of his music growing up here in Huntington Beach. There were stickers, lighters, posters everywhere here in Huntington Beach when I was growing up for his band Head PE. I am joined by the king of G-Punk himself, Jared Gomez. How you doing today, brother?
Hey, bro. Appreciate that introduction. Yeah. Huntington Beach. G-Punk, wow, that really takes me back.
Man, I gotta be honest, man, I'm so excited. You know, I started doing this podcast about 4 or 5 years ago. Had the pleasure of meeting a lot of people who, you know, I've crossed paths with but never had a chance to sit down and talk with, or people that I've just been a fan with or a fan of and never had a chance to talk to. This is one of those times too, man, because as I said, I grew up here in the 90s in Huntington Beach where you guys formed the band Head PE, and you know, I had a lighter that said Head PE on it. I had stickers that said Head PE on it, and I never heard the music before that point. At that point, I still hadn't heard the music. I got to be honest. And then I started listening to it afterward. I got the records, started listening to the records, and then today, this year rather, one of the very exciting things that I saw that I want to talk to you about is it's the 20-year. Mark of my favorite Head PE record, Only in America.
Wow, yeah, that one did really well for me too. Yeah, 20-year anniversary, and then next year is a 25th anniversary for Broke. But what you're saying about the lighters and all that is interesting, because we definitely got the brand out there a lot in the 90s, you know, pre-internet, even, you know, that was how you did it.
Dude, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's funny how this whole thing, as I said with this podcast, I started 4 or 5 years ago. I get the press release that Head PE is on tour for their new album, Detox, that came out last year. And, and I was like, oh, dude, I love Head PE. Like, another opportunity through this podcast to talk to someone who knows about Huntington Beach, grew up through here. Weird small world cosmic reunions of some kind where you and I never crossed paths before, but, you know, have definitely been in the same bars and same fucking streets and everything like that walking around. And here we are, you know, and it takes a podcast to bring us together and talk about it, man. I just got to say, man, it's a real honor to have you here.
Dude, I'm stoked. And as you're talking, I'm just picturing those days in Huntington and how evil it was.
Oh, evil. It's not so evil. Yeah, it's pretty evil.
No, I'm just kidding. It was like a vortex. At that time, it was a vortex of like tons of skate companies and extreme sports companies. And of course, Korn and the Deftones were always rolling through town. And, you know, that, you know, it was an interesting time for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. Because you're, as you said, you're talking about the '90s here. So I heard you on another friend's podcast that you did last year, the Garza podcast. Chris Garza, good friend of mine from Suicide Silence, and good he guy. Was asking about yeah. And he comes from the Orange County area as well, Suicide right. Silence as well. And you guys were talking about that, and you talked about your upbringing and how you came to be into Huntington Beach and through Fullerton. You mentioned the guys in Lit who I love, who I grew up with, you know, years ago as we were starting to pop off. We were going down there to the Slide Bar. Maybe you could talk to me a little bit about you grew up in Fullerton. So you got to be like right there next to Slide Bar all the time, right?
Right. Yeah, dude. Somebody was just mentioning the Slide. Dude, what a trip. Like, my wife's like, I don't know, who does her nails knows the guy who owns the Slide. I don't know. The Slide Bar got mentioned to me lately, but.
That's funny.
Yeah, so I graduated from Buena Park High School. And whenever Buena Park High School wanted to go to the beach, we'd just go right down Beach Boulevard right to Huntington.
Right.
But as soon as I moved out, I moved around a lot because, you know, drugs will do that. But then I ended up in Huntington for probably the last 7 years before we got signed. Because mm-hmm. then when we got signed, I just kind of, you know, became homeless to the road type of shit. But but that's the birthplace, you know. Yeah. PE wouldn't be what it is today even without that HB vibe that we kind of, you know, focused in on.
Dude, I think that's what gravitated me towards your music. I don't think, I think you guys don't get the recognition nationwide that you really deserve. No, and I mean that honestly, because there's so the music that you guys have put out over the last, you know, 30 years. I mean, you've been in the music industry since 1984. That's 40 years, man. That's incredible. Yeah. Congratulations on that. And,
well,
and
I wouldn't say. I mean, I've been in bands since 81.
But that's even
I never really got into the industry until 94.
94. Okay. So, yeah, okay. Yeah. So that's when it all starts for you. Right. As you said, we're coming up on the 20 or the 30 years there. 30 years. Jesus. Right. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, though, I don't think you get a lot of recognition because or enough praise, I'll say rather, because there's some great records, some great songs, and it's such a unique style that you just pointed out. I can only imagine it coming from Huntington Beach area, man. Like, it's a hodgepodge of that music that, like, I grew up on, I love. And then, like, and the way that you keep it, I mean, let's bring it to Detox right now, the record that you're touring for right now. I mean, you go through all the songs, you know, you have the singles on there. Was it Too Late and Detox are kind of the singles off that record. But then you have the songs that I gravitated towards. The last song, PCH, amazing. You're singing about being on PCH. I'm picturing it here in Huntington Beach, but maybe you had a different part of PCH you were singing about there. You could correct me if I'm wrong there. And then you have songs like This Dream. That like goes back to the SoCal punk. It has that Pennywise feel with a little bit of funk to it, a little bit of that metal that I think people don't think that we have a decent amount of metal on the beach. You think of a beach town, bunch of surfers, all that kind of shit. Maybe some reggae in there. You probably listen to Sublime, but they don't know about the other punk and metal shit that was there too. So I love that you guys have always brought that in, and still today, you know, 30 years into it, you're still doing the fucking great music. And like I said, in PCH, when you got a funky groove from the 70s and you're singing about PCH, you got me. You got my heartstrings, brother.
Dude, thank you. And I mean, I love that track because it means a lot to me. That's one of those tracks that as I'm recording it, I get choked up as I'm like spitting the bars about my mom and all that at the end. So I recall getting choked up trying to perform those bars. But yeah, I really... I really keyed in on some key nostalgia in that song.
Yeah, that's what I was picking up on, man. I was walking
these type shit. Yeah,
yeah, dude. I mean, I'm walking on PCH. I still live here in Huntington Beach. I'm not far from the boardwalk here, so I walk along that boardwalk by the cliffs where I'm sure you've surfed and the dog beach right over here. I'm sure you're familiar with. And you know, I'm listening to the song PCH while I'm here, and I'm like. Again, like I said, it's just such a cosmic meeting in a way for me to be talking to you. I mean, where are you at in the world right now?
Right now, I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Dude, Knoxville. I was just there not too long ago. There's right. Great little town.
Right. We have a show here tomorrow, but we're heading to Florida for like about 6 or 7 shows in Florida.
Yeah, man. That 6 or 7 shows just in the one state?
Yeah. We have a good market in Florida, so we're stoked about that.
Nice, dude. Well, Florida's a great town to be in. And back to the beach town that we're kindred spirits from there. Just talk to me a little bit more about PCH. You mentioned that nostalgia and stuff like that, or you know, as I mentioned, some of the music that was happening in the 90s. We briefly talked about it. You said that the drugs kind of took you around a little bit, and I heard you talking to Garza about the drugs in the 90s here. I was a little young. I mean, I knew that the drugs were here, but you know, what was it like for you coming here in the 90s?
Wow, you know, it was just kind of the pinnacle of being in a band right before you get signed, you know. So there was the cliche of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, really, to the highest extent possible, you know, jet fuel all the way. Seems like so many people in Huntington were doing that, you know, using, I don't want to be too specific about it because I have a teenage son now. So let's just say between the like strippers and the drugs and the heavy metal, it was pretty intense, but it was nice to get signed and leave, you know, that was cool.
Well, I never left. I never left, but I get it. I you know, I know the drugs were around and everything like that, especially. But you guys didn't touch upon it on the Garza podcast. I'm not sure if you want to or if you feel comfortable with it. But in the 90s, being from Huntington Beach and knowing the scarred past that we've had, there was another big issue that was happening in the early 90s here in Huntington Beach.
Yeah, like skinheads for real.
Skinheads, man, that was a big thing, and it's a scar on the city for sure. The skinheads aren't, you know, I mean, I'm sure they're still around, but not as prevalent.
Yeah, and then the OJ trial, and so like pensions were really rare, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how comfortable you are discussing that. I mean, as a man of color yourself coming into Huntington Beach, what that meant to you.
You know, there's been that list of hardcore bands that skinheads embrace, like even Bad Brains, who's like all black dudes. So we had kind of an element of that where there would be a skinhead element at some of our shows. But they didn't take it over, you know.
Yeah, right.
But having said that, there was definitely some like awkward moments living in Huntington and having a skinhead at my house that I wasn't comfortable with or some shit like that. Going to a friend's house where there were some skins there that made me uncomfortable. But even having said that, I never got like, I don't want to minimize what it is, but minimalize what it is.
Right.
I never got like physically assaulted or, you know, maybe got taunted by cars driving by or whatever, but, you know, it wasn't the worst experience. Let's just say that.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, I'm glad that that's the case. Like I said, that is like a checkered past there too. But and even in the 90s there too, I don't know how, if you got in there in what you said, like around 94, that was past the U.S. Open riots that had happened. Right before then. And then WCW had come through and done a Bash at the Beach on the beach down here in like 93, right before that. So I think you missed some of the beach hoopla.
You mean like 4th of July riot?
Oh, yeah, the 4th of July riot. There was a couple of them. There was one in the 80s and then I think again in the early 90s, if I'm not mistaken.
Like it was almost like an annual thing.
Dude, it still is. It's on the cusp every year about like, is it going to be a riot or just a party? Like, it's a fine line every year here.
Dude, well, the last time I was visiting with my family, visiting my parents, and we were at the beach during like some surf contest, it just reminded me how intense fucking Huntington is, dude.
Oh, yeah. It can be. It can. I mean, I there's also the other side of it, too, right? Because, I mean, I've lived here my whole life. I'm raising a child now here. It's a beautiful city still. There's great parts about it. But you have to be aware of it. It does have a more checkered past. I feel like it's gotten better now. But it was a checkered past. Let's be real.
Right, dude. I was just there with my family, too. My wife and son and daughter. We're on the beach all day and it's just beautiful and lovely, you know.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You got to be aware where you're going to end up at, right?
Right. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. But yeah, right. I'm glad you mentioned the family again because I didn't want to brush over that. Another thing that I wanted to ask you about is the touring. You're on tour right now. You're in your bus right now. You said you're in Knoxville. You're heading to Florida. You got a son. You got a wife. You're doing the family thing too. That's a balance I'm learning about right now. My son's only 7. You said your son's what, 15, 16 years old?
My
like
son's 16 and my daughter's 3.
Oh, wow. That's a big gap you got there, buddy.
Yeah. My wife had that nice COVID surprise there.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay, yeah. So you didn't get snipped in time. Okay, I gotcha. So that
but right after.
Right after you're like, oh, okay, now it's time to get snipped. All right. I love that. So I ask about the family life because it is, I do know that that is a balance too. And now that I know the big age gap difference there too, you got a unique fucking ass perspective on this, I'm sure. I mean, you got a teenager that I heard you've taken out on the road a few times, stuff like that. I do that with my son. He's grown up on the road as well since, you know, before he'll ever remember it, as, you know, fucking 3-4 months old, you know, meeting
guys in
Metallica
right.
while I was out on tour with them.
That's
just like those different weird perspectives I think only another guy in a band might be able to shed some light on of what that balancing act is like. Maybe you want to talk to that a little bit.
Well, you know, sometimes I'm sure my wife is glad to see me go. So probably saved our marriage, but, you know, it's a fucking bittersweet, to leave, of course, especially with the little one, right? The 3-year-old princess. My son's doing his own thing. He's a junior. But, you know, I'm fucking blessed to go out and earn for the family. But, you know, I miss them, you know, intensely. But I'm not the only dad who has to leave home to earn a living. So, you know, I'm not trying to get any sympathy from that.
Right. No. We don't get sympathies from our jobs. That's no. Right. But yeah, no, that when I talk about that balancing act too, though, I mean, like, it's when you're leaving and you got to do the work. That's one thing, as you said. That's not a foreign thing to most people. You know, a lot of people have those jobs that require that element. How about like raising the child though? Like, how about raising the kids though? Because it is a different style of life. It's not, you know, they're not going to go to, they could go to their friends and talk about what dad does. Their dad has a very different job than what their dad has, if that makes any sense. So,
oh,
and
totally.
How do you keep that? And how do you keep them I don't know. It's not like they need to, their heads are going to get in the clouds just because you're a musician or anything like that. But how do you kind of keep them grounded in knowing that their lives, because of the way you work and travel, and they'll get those opportunities to travel and see the world maybe a little bit differently than some others. How do you keep them grounded in that and maybe just educated and open-minded and observant while they're out there so that they could kind of absorb what's going on in their lives?
Well, I'll tell you what, I try to just like, for my son, it's a lot of texting and staying in his brain about what I think is important, which is, you know, not partying too much and doing well with his academics, you know. With the little daughter is more of a FaceTime thing and checking in like that. But I'm just trying to be present in the kids' lives, even though I'm not home, as much as I can, you know, whether it's phone calls, texting, and FaceTime. You know, I just can't leave and be absent, you know?
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, and luckily I'm glad you brought up the FaceTime and stuff. Cause again, like I said, my son's 7, your oldest probably didn't quite have the technology there to be able to do those FaceTimes as common and easy, right?
Well, here's the thing. The difference is when my son was a kid, then him and my wife would just be on tour all the time with me. But now that he's a teenager, we don't have that option to like bring her out as much because my wife has to kind of hold down the fort, you know, for the teen.
Yeah.
So it's different, but I do look forward to bringing out all of them at the end of this tour. You know,
is that happening? Are you bringing them all out for the end of the tour?
Yeah. Well, we're playing this big festival in Sacramento. I think it's. It's not
Aftershock, right? Is it Aftershock?
Yeah. I'm going to have them out.
That's Danny Winter's Festival.
And then.
Oh, that's a fun one.
I'll have them out for that. Yeah. And see if we can't work things out.
Go ahead. Yeah, dude. Well, okay. So we talked about the family there. And then I mentioned the song on the D-Tex album, This Dream. I think some of the lyrics are dealing with what we were just talking about here in respect of where you're at, where you are at in your career, as we mentioned, of a 30-year spanning signed career, where you've been. And again, musically, I love this song because, as I already said, brought back some of that SoCal punk. I mean, you've done that many times on all your records, definitely keeping that in play,
right.
Which is something I fucking absolutely love. So musically it has that, and then talk to me a little bit about the lyrics of that song.
PCH, bro. Is that the song we're talking about?
No. Sorry. This Dream.
Okay. No, that's very cool. This dream is not for you. Well, that song has like a double meaning. I think I pulled that song from like, that's some old like African American poem or something that was kind of like saying the American dream is not for you, you know, black guy.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm glad you're. I'm ignorant to that aspect of it. I took a different interpretation of it.
So right.
You're correcting me and educating me a little bit about where it was, what it meant to you.
Right. It's kind of about just the experience of having or being excluded from something, you know, and I think that. You probably were taking the meaning that this dream, meaning the life I'm living, is definitely not for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly how I took it, man. And I was talking about that life and being in the industry for 30 years. And you've mentioned in other songs and other interviews, I've heard you talk about how you've grown comfortable at where you're at and what you've seen and everything. And I'm hoping you could talk to me a little bit about that and bestow some of the wisdom that you've seen in the industry over the last 30 years.
Oh man. I'm not the smartest guy in the room though. So.
No one needs to be.
Let me tell you that like it when we were like hitting, you know, Jonathan Davis from Korn, Chester Bennington from Linkin Park, they would like call me and be like, I want you on our label. Your label doesn't know what the fuck they're doing with you. Like earlier when you were saying you guys deserve more recognition. Well, there were times in my career where there were mistakes made, right? And that's probably why I'm have the profile I do now. Or whatever, though. Because look at the huge bands like Crazy Town, and then they fizzle off, you know, or tons of other one-hit wonders, you know. So, on the one hand, at least I still have a career, but definitely there was a time when heavyweights at that time in the industry were like, we got to help Head PE, but at that time, my label was not interested in help from anybody, you know.
Yeah, that's and then back to the Only in America was the first record that you did on the new label in 2004. So talk to me about that transition. You just mentioned
Only in America was done on Koch Records. Now yeah. Koch was interesting because they were like that new thing where they were offering like a 50-50 deal. That's like industry shit, but normally your deal is much less than that, you know. So Koch was offering like bands that were just getting off majors really good deals, so that shit really worked out for me, you know. We only did one record with Koch, but that was probably a mistake, but they treated me really well and I still get checks to this day. But anyway, that's how that worked out. As soon as we bailed from the majors, I had a friend of a friend that introduced me to Koch, which I think now they're called E1 or Monarch, but a lot of like big rappers were using Koch, like Jim Jones and the Diplomats back in the 90s and all that.
Yeah, man. I wasn't very familiar with Koch. I actually got to be honest. I looked it up today and saw that what it was on, what that record was released on. And I didn't know. I mean, 50-50 deal. Jesus. Yeah, I'm sure that helped.
Yeah, dude.
Helped you guys get for a while.
Being fresh off the major label, that was like one of my best deals, you know.
I wonder if they'll ever bring. I wonder if the independents will bring back 50-50 deals or something. Because I mean, you know, honestly, think about it. I mean, I know we're hoping for ourselves, but right. But like, think about it. I mean, what is a major label doing that an independent label can't do these days?
Well, they're going to have more disposable income to just fucking oil the presses, you know, just get that word out, you know, on every platform and in every way. You know,
I think the independents have the means, just as much of the means to do that these days.
Well, now with technology, it's definitely getting more even.
Yeah, I would say that because it's no longer the cost of what it takes to distribute and get hard copy things.
Right.
This is all digital promotion that doesn't cost the same as it used to.
Totally. I mean, dude, our last record Detox debuted number one on Apple iTunes.
Dude, congrats.
And that's on an indie label. That's so what you're saying, back in the day, that could never happen because of what you're saying, the cost to ship physical copies.
Right. I mean, just the physical copies, yes. And the promotion is in physical form, too. You have actual magazines and newspapers and stuff. Right. You know, it's not that way anymore, you know. Dude, your promotion is your social media. Your promotion is your social media at this point in a lot of respects.
You know, it's been an interesting time as an artist to be alive and watch the transition from analog to digital, because when our first record was on tape, they had to like rent a U-Haul to get it from mixing to mastering or whatever, to get it to mixing, right?
Yeah.
Recording to mixing. Now that shit can go on a thumb drive.
Not even a thumb drive, bro. We're beyond thumb drives. You put it in a Dropbox file and it's over to anybody across the country.
It doesn't even need to be anywhere physically at all, right?
Right. It's a trip, though, man. It's a trip, though. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that back, too, because you have the unique perspective of seeing it from, as you said, the true analog days. Not just like, you know, like we could talk about the analog days of the, you know, 2010s, you know, like just about 15 years ago. It's like, yeah, they were bringing back analog. It still wasn't the same. You're talking about the late 80s into the early to mid 90s of true analog and stuff like that, too. And the magazines, all the zine scenes, all the actual, I mean, as you mentioned, you come to California, you live in California, you come to Huntington Beach, you're playing all the places in Orange County. I'm sure you're going up to LA, playing the strip up there. You know, this is all the, these were the ways you got your band out, you know, and that's not the case anymore. It's just, but you,
well, yeah.
And then all these years later, you still have a release that you're able to say is a number one, you know? So like, there's like that whole thing that you've seen the industry change so much. I mean, what are some of the things that you've taken from it? And I know you've mentioned, you're like, yeah, that was probably a mistake. That might've been a mistake, you know, but you learn from your mistakes, right? That's the whole point of them. Or they should be.
Hopefully. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it's just such a trip. Like, when we lived in Huntington, the band, and when one of my guitar players wanted me to hear a new track, he'd have to drive over, you know? Now I can write, I collab with a guitar player in Holland, you know?
Right,
we write music together all the time.
Yeah.
It's just a trip, dude.
Isn't that so cool? It's such a cool part of it, too. And for you, I mean, if you go on the wiki for Head PE, you can see all the members that have been in and out of the band and out of your band. And today, you know, you've got a longstanding band a little bit. I want to talk about your kid bass, the bass player on this record, Detox, too, as a bass player. I'm listening to it going like, not only is that a sick tone, this guy could fucking play. Like, that's some serious shit right there. And I bring that up to ask how the recruiting has changed over the years for you when you're putting together a Head PE band. How different iterations, how has that come? And specifically to this one, how did that come to be?
Well, you know, the kind of definitely like the original guitar players set the tone for every record to come, you know. But then again, the drumming and the bass approach has definitely kind of shifted and evolved. It is a trip, you know, the different players that come through and leave a little flavor behind when they leave, when they bail. So that's interesting. And for me, it's all I know. So some guys, like, for instance, my last drummer was in the band for 15 years and then had two kids over COVID and then is like, don't want to tour anymore. So I'm in that now. I'm in the new position of finding new drummers to jam with, you know. So a lot of times I have no control over what members come and go. I'm just kind of rolling with the punches, you know.
Yeah, man. And
I heard on that podcast. Flavor.
Sorry, say that again. Try to make a certain way.
Always as being like the guy from the beginning, always knowing where the breaking point is, where the, you know, how it has to sound no matter who's in the fucking band.
Right. Yeah, as the conductor, of the train, right? It's interesting to that though, as you said, you got all these, you're not running the ship like that. You're just like, you get it. You mentioned it. Your guitar player that had been there for 15 years goes through, has a couple kids. He says he doesn't want to tour anymore. It's not like you just pick up the pieces and move on. You could still empathize with that person, understand why. Cause as I was saying, where my interpretation of this dream, it's not for everybody. The road isn't for everybody. You know, you could have all the talent in the world. A lot of times, I don't know about for you, but you talk to, I guess you call them the normies, the guys who don't tour for a living, you know, and they ask you questions like, man, you know, how did you get there? How did you do this? All these things, you know, You know, they, you know, and you always, you know, you talk about the talent of musicians, right? And if it was an Olympic sport, there's, you know, there's the guys that you would consider gold medalists and everything like that. And I don't consider myself a gold medalist of bass. I don't even think I'd be a fucking qualifier on the actual instrument and playing it. However, I know that I have the mentality and the wherewithal to be in this band traveling and doing that, which is an added thing that I don't think a lot of people, it's not for everyone. That, there's a reason why. You know, there's guys that you and I know that no one's ever heard of that are amazing, talented musicians, but no one's ever heard of them. They've never gone out on the road. They can't go on the road. It's not part of their DNA. You know what I mean?
Totally. And look, one of the variables, if you're in head PE, is, let's face it, it's not the most glamorous, and you're not going to, you know, it's not $1 million salary, you know? So there's that. For sure, that's one of the variables. And then it's like you said, not everybody wants to travel all the time either, you know? So yeah, it's not for everybody, yeah. But it's definitely something I enjoy. You know, I just love rocking out, you know, like, you were talking about Kid Bass. My guitar player and my bass player both graduated from GIT in Hollywood, you know? So they're like, just masters. Oh, what's going on here?
Hey, Jared, I'm sorry. It's breaking up real bad. I'm missing a lot of what you're saying right now.
No, I'm going to repeat myself. It's telling me here it's trying to reconnect. You hear me now?
Hey, what's up, brother? You're back.
Hey, bro. I don't know where I cut out at.
Yeah, I was just asking you about the, you know, how you go through, and we were talking about musicians and how all,
okay,
you know,
yeah.
There's so many great musicians out there, but not everyone is built for the road, and the road is tough. You just don't know it until you get out there.
Yeah, and I was just saying how, like, you know, what would make it easier is if you know, you could pay your guys, you know, thousands of dollars a week, but if you're in head PE, sometimes not that glamorous, but, right now, I'm blessed with fucking masters of the instruments. My guitar player and bass player, both graduates of GIT, and just masters of their instruments, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, head PE, we consider ourselves like a band's band because we're fucking ready to throw down. You know what I mean? So, anyway. Yeah, we're having a good time. It's still a bit of culture shock trying to jam without the old drummer and working a new guy or whatever, but it's what we do.
Yeah, and you've been doing it for a while, man, and you've been doing it great for a long time. I love the Rancid shirt, by the way, that you're wearing today, too. You said,
yeah,
and looks like you said you were outside of a Planet Fitness or a Home Depot right now?
Well, yeah, every day we drive from a club to a Planet Fitness, and then to a club, and then to another Planet Fitness in another town, then to that club, and rock and rinse and repeat.
And what is the reason for that? Is you just guys just trying to stay physically in shape then?
But also showers, you know. The Black Card is $20 a month, and you can take a shower in any PF across the country. Plus, you know, we park in the parking lot, and that's, you know, we're sleeping there. If not that, it's a Walmart parking lot, you know.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, I mean, and you're on a bus now, but I mean, talk to me about the early days of touring, brother. Like, I mean, for me, like, I know for, you know, you go back to the van days, everything like that, and so what was it like for you? Were you guys in one of those Econo vans to start? Did you go just cars? Like,
when
I mean,
we first started touring, we were in, like, the Cruise America RV.
Gotcha.
And we were in that thing for fucking 5 years. Like, we toured with Motley Crue in one of those, and we would pull under the arena, and there'd be like five huge tour buses and our little Cruise America.
Dude. And you're on tour with the crew for that? Like, so you mentioned, like, earlier too, everyone's gonna, you know, with the scene you guys came up in the new metal scene, you're gonna get the Korns, as you mentioned before, everybody else you mentioned before too. But one of the things I found interesting too is one of your influences is the 80s glam long hair metal bands and stuff like that. So, and you're talking about the crew touring with them. Talk to me about your early inspirations, and then when you made the decision and the changeover to create the sound that became Head PE, that is so different than that hair metal stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, my first concert I went to was Rush, Moving Pictures, and then I and then after that, whatever was big right then, and you know, I graduated high school in '82, so it's definitely like Motley Crue, Rat, Poison, Queensryche, all that metal. I was into all of it.
Yeah.
But I was also into like new wave and shit too, and you know, whatever K-Rock was playing in the fucking '80s, you know.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
And then you also had, we had K-Rock.
But up my mind, because I was into like Prince, I was into funk, and I was, you know, I was into all of that shit. You know, I was into metal for sure. That was my favorite, but I was definitely into Prince and anything else, you know.
Yeah. And that definitely shows that you have an eclectic taste. It shows in the music. It's eclectic music, right? I mean, right. You mentioned in like some of the influence. I mean, you mentioned the show where you were on shrooms and you saw the lineup and you're like, I want a little piece of all of these guys. I think Beastie was on there.
Oh yeah, that was that punk band X, Cypress Hill, Beastie Boys, and Rage Against the Machine.
And those are the bands that you conglomerated to make the sound that is Head PE, which I think is perfect. If you hear all those bands, you know exactly what the man set out to do and what he ended up doing.
Right, because for a while there, I didn't want to try and rap, but after I went to that show on shrooms, I was like, I definitely wanted to rap, you know. I wanted to do all those vibes.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was before any of those bands blew up, too, if I right? Or my BC had to have been already big.
No,
right?
They were huge. Yeah. This was a huge fucking at the Velodrome.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think there was another show. Yeah, there was another show that you guys were, that you had been talking about around the scene. I mean, again, this is the scene when, to paint the picture, the 90s you guys were coming up with. I mean, the popular bands that were breaking was Sugar Ray and 311. And
yeah, well, Human Waste Project, Sugar Ray, who was at the time called Shrinky Dinks.
Yeah, they were a heavy band before everyone got to hear who they were.
Right. Oh, yeah. I saw them all at this club called 5902 in Seal Beach. Mm-hmm. That was interesting because they all went on to be huge.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, to this day, like still, I mean, I befriended the Peanut from the bass player from 311. Just saw them here in Orange County again. I saw them in that club too.
Yeah. In that same little club in Seal Beach.
Incredible shows you must have been able to see then, man. I mean,
yeah, I think Huntington was like a vortex where like one of those spots where like 311 was like would sell out before they were like well known, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and then that blue record, the 311 self-titled, came out with Down on It and everything, and the rest was history. I mean, that album came out in 96 and was just like they're gone, that's done now.
I was like amazed by that band for sure.
Great musicians.
The blend of hip-hop and reggae and rock was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, man. And you take it for granted,
but at the time it was like, whoa.
Totally. I love that you said that. You did. I mean, at the time it wasn't even just whoa. It was, there was a lot of pushback because it was so whoa. Like a lot of people were like, no, I'm not ready for it. But now we take it for granted because it's been done so many times, to your point, and it's been done well. A case in point with you guys. I mean, talk to me about your, you know, hip hop and reggae influences. You said that you were reluctant to spit bars, and now here we are talking about it, and you're one of my favorites, man. I mean, some of the bars you did on this Detox and then back to Only in America, like, I mean, you got some great lyrics, man. So I know you said, after that show, yeah, you, of course, you're very welcome, after that show was kind of what opened you up. But I mean, you said you were listening to everything before, so I mean, what was the first bar you spit, man? I mean, what was it for you?
Well, so, you know, I didn't grow up. There was no hip hop for me growing up. I didn't listen to any. So for me,
well, Orange County, it was pretty hard to find. I will attest to that.
For me, it's just like writing and it's no freestyling at all. It's all just like sitting down and, you know, it probably takes me a week to write a line that Lil Wayne could just freestyle. but it's fun. And, you know, the rappers, they've gotten so much better, too. Like, these kids with their wordplay these days are, like, really impressive, you know?
Right.
So, like, on Detox, I try to, like, play with some of what they do, you know? But it's really tough, but...
Yeah, man.
It's just fun. I just like the medium of hip-hop rapping, you know, in order to get my point across.
Yeah, man. And the reggae stuff, too. The reggae makes a little bit more sense. You mentioned the hip-hop probably a little harder to find in Orange County. But reggae, that was, I mean, we're a beach town.
Right, totally. And what's interesting, or I wasn't really into reggae before the band got signed. It was kind of after that where I really got into the genre.
Yeah, it's definitely prevalent.
I remember growing up, there was this guy around the corner from me, this little blonde kid, and he was like, you got to hear this guy, Bob Marley. And we'd get stoned at his house, and I was like, I was just so into metal and rock that I didn't get it. Honestly, it's embarrassing, but I didn't, you know?
No, but that's, it is embarrassing sometimes to admit these things, but it's true. I mean, there's context behind it. Like when I was a kid, I would listen to Korn for the first time. And because I was so into punk and the traditional metal that had been dropped before it, I was reluctant to become a Korn fan. And I know that first record was fucking Follow the Leader was amazing, but I was reluctant to be a Korn fan because it was just so different. Right. And you got to put it in context. We didn't know at the time what we were witnessing. You know what I mean? Like it was a revolution that we were witnessing and it took some of us a little time to come around.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Uh-oh. Okay,
can you hear me okay? Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I mean, hey.
Yeah, bro, I hear you.
You know what?
Yeah, okay, cool. You're right. Like, you don't know what you're seeing at the time, but in retrospect, yeah.
Yeah, and it happens all the time with different genres, not specifically to that one. Hey, man, we're having a little trouble with the internet today, so we're gonna wrap this one up. I have like the last couple things I wanted to talk to you about. I have to share with you, and then we'll wrap this up. Hopefully, you enjoyed the time, and we could do this another time when you're down in Southern California. Maybe we could do this in person. And
yeah, bro, when I have a better connection.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get a better connection and bro down a little harder, go into some more depth here for the audience. But one of the things I wanted to share with you, again, back to celebrating 20 years of Only in America, there was a time when we were on the road where the songs, that album in its entirety, but definitely Foreplay and Represent were the mantra and Kickstarter to every after party we had on the road for a long time there. I mean, after we get off stage, we have a good time. Every, you know, you wind down for about 5-10 minutes, you start having your drinks, and then you have your friends and others come backstage, and you want to set the vibe. I promise you, you put on Foreplay and Represent, my head PE off the album, Only in America, and it will set the vibe you're looking for, I think. It's a beautiful, I mean, those lyrics, again, going back to the lyrics, I mean, Foreplay, how much fun was it producing a song like that? That is such a fucking gem to me.
Dude, I'm so glad you liked that. You know, that was, again, it's just the sum of all the parts of what I thought was cool. The metal, like the dirty hip hop, just all of that, you know. You know, and I just, one thing that I found out is that through like the Snoop Dogg and all that early dirty gangster rap is that girls love dirty music and they like to rap dirty lyrics. So I ran with that, you know, and it just turned out to be true. I mean, It's just a proven thing.
It's what sells. It's what sells, everybody. And how did you get those girls on there, by the way, that are saying those innocent lines in foreplay? Is that one girl? Or is that both?
Who is that?
Who was that one girl? Or is that multiple girls singing those lines in foreplay?
That's actually my wife. That's my wife on that track.
No.
Yes, yes.
Well, now I feel like a creep listening to it. You've ruined it for me, Jared.
No, I'm sorry you asked.
I'm teasing. That's so good.
Yeah, that was like literally when we were first started dating. That was like 23 years ago, right? Or 20 years ago.
20 years ago. No. It's 20 years ago.
It came out 20 years ago. Right, right.
Yeah, and then you got and so that song like just kind of sets it up. You know, everyone get your drinks out, ladies, pull your tits out. We're about to have a good time. This is a fucking this was my anthem for like several tours, dude. I have no like we have an entertainment center with the music, you know, speakers, iPod goes on. All right, we're putting on Only in America and we're getting this party started. And you get into Represent with such great lyrics and then the guitar solo. That's like another part that I think is underrated. Is that guitar solo in Represent? Because it's so fast and it goes by, like it's like a 15-second guitar solo, right? Or like 20-second guitar solo, but it's so innovative and different. I love it. Yeah, that's such a weird, different style of guitar solo. I love that thing.
That is a good one. Yeah. Jackson was like, you know, I miss him as a songwriter. Jackson wrote so many good records with me, you know. He was the first guitar player after the two original guys, and he was just a great songwriter. Mm-hmm. I miss that, you know.
Now, you produced a lot of music over the years, as you said. You've put out, what, like 200 songs? You've been on countless features with guys, mutual friends like Tech N9ne and stuff like that. Beautiful guy. Love that dude. Super talented. And it's just been a culmination. It's just been a culmination of, like I said earlier in this, not getting the recognition that I believe you've been very innovative, at least in my life, and I'm sure to a lot of musicians out there, Jared. I hope you know that.
I appreciate that, bro. I'm humbled.
Yeah, man. Oh, well, I am too, just having you here again. Uh-oh. We will do this again with better connection, hopefully in person. You come over to the house, say hi to the dog for me, and we'll do this again sometime.
Huntington. Again,
Huntington Beach, man. Come on back to the stopping
grounds.
Oh,
yeah, I'm going to hit you up next time I'm in Huntington.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, well, next time I'm in HB, I'm going to hit you up.
Dude, please do. We'll get this thing done again, man. Hey, everyone, check out more from Head PE. As I talked about, 20 years of Only in America. Detox is out right now. You got Jared Gomez and the boys out on tour. Go check their listings. Go follow them. All those wonderful things. And thanks for being here while you're following us. And we'll see you next time, as always. Cheers.